Let me tell you something you already know. The world is an unclean place. It's a dirty place. It's a place filled with grime and grit. It's a place that is soiled. It is a place where those who live in it experience its brokenness. We experience the grime of this place. We experience the dirt and the tarnishing of this world which we live in, and none of us have escaped it. The world is a dirty place. We come to our text this morning, Luke chapter 5, verses 1 to 32. If you're using the Bible in the pews, you'll find it on page 1019. When we come to the text this morning, we're going to see the brokenness that's in the world. We're going to see the uncleanness that's in the world, and we're going to see that it's of various sorts. There are unclean minds, there are unclean bodies, and there are unclean souls. And what we're going to see as we look at this text, Luke chapter 5, verses 1 to 32, is a marvelous thing. I hope it stirs you. Jesus loves the unclean. Jesus loves the unclean, but he doesn't leave us unclean. We'll see our text this morning, four thoughts here. Number one, Jesus calls the unclean. You see that in verses 1 to 11. Number two, Jesus cleanses the unclean, verses 12 to 16. And number three, Jesus cancels the sin of the unclean, verses 17 to 26. And finally, Jesus chooses to befriend the unclean. He calls, he cleanses, he cancels the sin, and he chooses to befriend those who are unclean. Here's what we should take away this morning. Let us not be so clean in our own sight that we miss the cleansing that Jesus brings. Luke chapter 5, beginning in verse 1. One day, as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, with the people crowding around him and listening to the word of God, he saw at the water's edge two boats, left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from shore. Then he sat down and he taught the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them, and they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man." For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken, and so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. And Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you will catch men." So they pulled their boats up on the shore, left everything, and followed him. While Jesus was in one of the towns, a man came along who was covered with leprosy. When he saw Jesus, he fell with his face to the ground and begged him, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. "I am willing," he said. "Be clean." And immediately the leprosy left him. Then Jesus ordered him, "Don't tell anyone, but go, show yourself to the priest and offer the sacrifices that Moses commanded for your cleansing as a testimony to them." Yet the news about him spread all the more so that crowds of people came to hear him and to be healed of their sicknesses. But Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. One day as he was teaching, Pharisees and teachers of the law who had come from every village of Galilee and from Judea and Jerusalem were sitting there, and the power of the Lord was present for him to heal the sick. Some men came carrying a paralytic on a mat and tried to take him into the house to lay him before Jesus. When they could not find a way to do this because of the crowd, they went up on the roof and lowered him on his mat through the tiles into the middle of the crowd right in front of Jesus. Jesus saw their faith. He said, "Friend, your sins are forgiven." The Pharisees and the teachers of the law began thinking to themselves, "Who is this fellow who speaks blasphemy? Who can forgive sins but God alone?" Jesus knew what they were thinking and asked, "Why are you thinking these things in your hearts? Which is easier, to say, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Get up and walk'? But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins," he said to the paralyzed man, "I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home." Immediately he stood up in front of them, took what he had been lying on, and went home praising God. Everyone was amazed and gave praise to God. They were filled with awe and said, "We have seen remarkable things today." After this, Jesus went out and saw a tax collector by the name of Levi sitting at his tax booth. "Follow me," Jesus said to him. And Levi got up, left everything, and followed him. Then Levi held a great banquet for Jesus at his house, and a large crowd of tax collectors and others were eating with them. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law who belonged to their sect complained to his disciples, "Why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners?" Jesus answered them, "It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." This morning we continue in our series in Luke's Gospel, a series that we've called Getting to Know Jesus. And that's precisely what we're hoping the Lord will allow us to do as we study His Word together as a congregation, is to see more of this Jesus Christ whom we worship, to get to know Him more deeply perhaps than we knew Him last Sunday when we gathered, or last night when we prayed in preparation for coming to the service. We want to get to know this Jesus who reveals Himself in His Word. And I wonder if you noticed that as we read through Luke chapter 5 this morning, there is a theme that kind of runs through the text. We see it there when Simon Peter sees the miracle with the fish, and in verse 8, I believe it is, he falls on his knees and says, "Go away from me, for I am a sinner." We see it again when we look there in the second episode, the man with the leprosy who in verse 12 says, "Lord, if you're willing, you can make me clean." And it comes up again in the very next section with the paralytic, the man who's been paralyzed and dropped through the roof. And Jesus says to him, "Your sins have been forgiven." And we see it yet again as we conclude in verses 31 and 32, when the Pharisees question the disciples of Jesus. And Jesus points out that it's the sick who need a doctor, and he's come to call sinners to repentance. It's the theme of cleanliness or uncleanliness. And as we look through this, we're going to see that Jesus is that Savior who cleansed most deeply. Notice with Simon Peter, verses 1 to 11. In verses 1 to 3, Jesus is doing what he seems to always be doing. He's teaching the people. We see here that great prophet, the Son of God. And in verse 3, he says to Simon Peter, "Look here, man, I'm going to get in your boat. You push out just a little bit on the lake, and I'm going to teach the people from the lake." Would have been a position where probably his voice would have been amplified some more, and he could teach the great crowds who always seemed to be pressing in on him. And so Peter obliges, and they push out. And when Jesus is finished teaching, notice what he says to Peter. He says, "Now let's go out a little bit deeper. And Peter, what I want you to do is to drop your nets in the water." And you know how it is when we think we know something more than other people know, and they come to tell us how to do what we think we already know how to do. You know that little thought that raises up in your head and in your heart? "I've been doing this, fill in the blank, how many years? And here this little rascal come and gonna try and tell me how to do what I'm doing. You know, Peter he's just going to amuse the Lord. Okay, Lord, if you say so, then I'll drop the boat. But let me tell you, I've been fishing all night and we ain't caught nothing. And here you come, little carpenter boy, going to tell me, the fisherman, how to do what I do. Y'all know how we do, right? And this seems to be Peter's attitude in verse 5 with the Lord Jesus. I noticed something. We can be this way with Jesus. That's precisely who Peter is being this way with. We can have an attitude that says to Jesus, I know a little bit more about my own life than you know. And you don't quite know how to address or how to fix or how to help me in this thing I know more about than you know about. See, because I know how much I need a man. I know how much I have needs. I'm a man with needs. And Jesus, you don't quite understand that because you're Jesus. You ain't kind of been through what I've been through. Notice the Lord. Whatever Simon is thinking to himself, one thing is certain. Simon thinks he's right. He thinks he's the one who knows how to fish, and Jesus is the upstart. He believes he has the answers, and Jesus is an imposition. He's thinking Jesus needs to be shown who's right and who's wrong. If you say so, I'm going to let the nets down, but let me tell you, ain't nothing out here. Simon Peter will be surprised at how wrong he is. Look there, verses 6 and 7. When they had done so, when they had let down the nets, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came, and notice, filled both boats so full that they began to sink. Get that picture in your mind. Simon thinks he's got the answers. He knows his trade. He's humoring Jesus just a little bit. And he doesn't expect to catch a thing. That as soon as he puts his nets in the water, an entire school of fish rush into the net and rush into the boat. They seem to be jumping right out of the water into the boat. And Simon is catching such a load of fish, he said, hey, man, come on over here and help me with this. And the fish jump in the other boat too. And both of the boats are sinking. Now, remember where Jesus told Simon to go. Go out there in the deep. Weighed down with fish. Now, beloved, how we react when Jesus proves we're wrong is incredibly important. It's incredibly important. Somebody comes on your job with less experience and tells you how to do something that proves correct. What's our temptation? Is our temptation to think in the heart, oh, he got lucky. No, our temptation is to say to ourselves, he still don't know as much as I know, long as I've been doing this job. And that's why a lot of people can't learn from others. They've always got an excuse. They've always got a reason. They've always got an explanation as to why they're more right than somebody else. And nobody else ever knows more than they do. And if we're not careful, we can have the same reaction to Jesus. But note Simon Peter's response in verse 8. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man. Peter sounds like the prophet Isaiah in Isaiah 6, doesn't he? When Isaiah sees the train of the Lord fill the temple and the glory of the Lord fill that place, and Isaiah gets a glimpse of the holiness and the glory of God, and Isaiah cries out, woe is me, I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell among a people of unclean lips, and I have seen the Lord Almighty. Peter has the very same kind of reaction. See, we never see ourselves properly until we see ourselves in the light of who Jesus Christ is. His splendor reveals our sin. His glory exposes our grossness. And Peter, in humility, admits on his knees that at Jesus' feet that he's unclean. He is a sinner, and he confesses it. And like all sinners, notice there, he doesn't want to be in the presence of a holy God. He'd rather Christ go away because he's so aware of his guilt and his sin. You remember the very first parents, Adam and Eve? How they hid from God in their sin and tried to cover themselves with fig leaves? Mankind's been doing that since the garden. The knowledge of our corruption makes us pull away from God. Beloved, that's a sinful response to sin. It shows a lack of faith and a lack of the knowledge of the grace of God. Notice Jesus' response to Peter in verse 10. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you will catch men." Simon's sin should have disqualified him from service to God. It should have brought God's judgment. God opposes the proud, but notice now, he gives grace to the humble. Simon, in the humility of his confession, finds the grace of God and discovers the purpose of God. Jesus calls this unclean man to serve him in the ministry of his word. He says, "I'm going to make you fishers of men." Beloved, that's no small thing. For most of my Christian life, I've read that text and I've thought about fishers of men, sort of with the image of a single man sitting on a pier with one rod and reel, pulling out fish one at a time. But notice the context. Simon fishes with nets. The boats have been sinking with fish. He's promising to Simon that Simon's going to have the kind of ministry where he brings the fish of men in by the net full. And what do we see in Acts chapter 2 at Pentecost when Simon preaches that first sermon? Thousands are converted. Thousands come into the net of God's salvation. God has a great plan and call on Simon's life, this unclean man. But notice from these first 11 verses, before we can ever receive the call of God on our lives, we have to admit that we are unclean. We have to admit to our sin. And listen, beloved, admitting that we're unclean is not the worst thing in the world. It's not. In our day of saving face and putting on masks and trying to be pretty and coming to church with three-button pinstripe suits, you know, we get in this thing of being very plastic people. And we get fake with God. But admitting that we are sinners, unclean, is not the worst thing. It's the best thing because Christ calls the unclean. And notice number two, he not only calls the unclean, but he cleanses the unclean. Verse 12 to 16, the scene with the leper. The Lord Jesus Christ doesn't leave us in our uncleanness. Listen, beloved, it's okay if you're not okay. But it's not okay to stay that way. Because Christ will take those who are not okay and he will cleanse them and make them okay. Notice here in verse 12 to 16, this scene with the leper. He's a man, verse 12, who is covered with leprosy. He's got a skin disease that's infected his entire body. And the significance of this skin disease, of his leprosy, is this. If you had such a disease in Israel, you could not worship God. You would be cut off from the worship of God and you would be cut off from the people of God until the leprosy was cleansed. And the priest had to come and inspect your body. Inspect the hair bumps, inspect where the leprosy had been. They had to go to your home and inspect the walls in your home and the linens on your bed and inspect your clothes to make sure that all of that infection that made you ceremonially and religiously unclean had been removed. And here's this man in this town and he sees Jesus coming and he falls on his face at Jesus' feet and he cries out, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me unclean." Or excuse me, clean. Can you feel his desperation? Face to the ground, begging. And can you sense his uncertainty? If you are willing. He's desperate and he's uncertain. He's unclean and he knows it. And he doesn't know if God is willing to cleanse him. Anybody ever felt like that before God? So unclean, so aware of your sin. You don't know if that gap between you and God will ever be crossed again. You wonder to yourself if God is willing to even wipe you clean again. if he's even willing to look upon you, if God is even willing to receive your worship. Anybody ever felt that their sin has been so big and so frequent that they are beyond the reconciliation of God, the cleansing of God, and the proper worship of God? Anybody ever felt so sinful that their singing causes them to feel their corruption? This man is separated from the worship of God. And with leprosy, he would be untouchable. Anyone touching him or touching the things that he touched would also be unclean. Now, this man is alienated with a strong, crushing stigma. And notice how beautiful this text is. Verse 12. When he saw Jesus, he fell with his face to the ground and begged him, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." Notice what Jesus says. Jesus reached out his hand and touched him, first of all. And notice what he said. "I am willing," he said. "Be clean." And immediately the leprosy left him. Beloved, don't you know that Jesus will touch you when nobody else will? Don't you know he will come near to you in your uncleanness and in intimacy lay his hands on you when nobody else will? And rather than our uncleanness making Jesus unclean, his purity cleanses us. Here he comes to this man and he not only touches him, but notice these beautiful words, "I am willing." Christ is willing to cleanse us. Christ is happy to cleanse us. There's no grudging in him. There's no hesitancy in him. There's no resistance in him. There's no sadness in him at having to do it. He's not angry. He's not inconvenienced. There's nothing in Christ that's pulling him back from our uncleanness. He is willing. He's willing to touch us. He's willing to cleanse us. He's willing to come near to us. And that's precisely why he's coming to the world, to cleanse those who were far off from God, unable to worship God because they were unclean in God's sight. That is good news.